As you will hear, I'm French, and my English is not, I'm not so confident with my English. Then I wrote a text. Then I have to read this text, so I hope it won't be too boring for you, but I will try. So I'm here to share my experience with one of the artwork I'm developing for a long time in my studio. So I'm the artist, excerpt or something like that. 10 years ago, in 2007, I started collecting all the books, newspaper, magazines in which I could find a reproduction of The Fontaine by Marcel Duchamp. As you will see, what may be seen as a joke became over the time a vast undertaking. There are more than 900 items in the archives now. To carry out this project, I had to establish a simple set of rules. First, the phone book must be brought to my studio. I need to have them physically at the studio. Then I give them a number of archives for each book according to the order of its arrival. Then I tear out the pages where the work Fontaine is reproduced. So I destroy the book. The page is then scanned before being carefully framed to become an artwork. Voilà. Then I produce a certificate for each frame page that takes the form of a conservation record that the kind you can have on the library or those kind of things. It contains the reference of the book. This one is interesting because you'll see. It contains the reference of the book, title, publisher, the date of entry of the document in the archives, the turnout page number in the original document, the name of the person who found it. For instance, here, it's Dieter Daniels. So I have some accomplice for this kind of things, of course. Then, if there are more, so this is one of the last rule is if there are more than one page reproducing a fountain in a book, it makes a polyptych. For instance, this is a capture of my website, but for instance, on the book Fontaine, a very famous book by Comfield for the Menil collection, published by the Menil collection, they are like, this is the record one, it's like 13 pages, I found 13 pages, so I made one work, it's calling under the number FA0275, and this work is, it's containing 13 pages, which is the most important ensemble. So, as you will see, like there are three pictures of my studio, so the books I bring on the studio, so I store the books on shelves there. And it's starting to invite me, and so it's very like, it's 10 years work, and in the beginning it was very small ideas, but start as I follow it very, very precisely, it's starting to be a big, big invasion of my studio. So it's probably 2014, last year, so books and books and books arriving. The publication amputated of its page is then kept in my studio. Over the time, it has formed an ultra-specialized library whose object that motivated its existence is actually not there anymore. The pages are not there. This is what I call the passive part of the project. I will come back to that later. The Fontaine Archive is what I call a hobby work, a work that I develop alongside my art. It is based on the economy of the multiple, the economy of art edition. It is a simple gesture, easy to repeat, but this one is producing only unique piece. And to do that, I base myself on the existing industry of books to make these things possible. Then, The frame pages are again spread out over exhibitions or sale using the usual circuit of art: collectors, gallery, museum, art center. I call the active part this first phases of the project, the fountain archive, this part exchanging, getting the books, making a piece of art of one pages, springing out back the books on the art world. It's the active part will allow me as well to manage the very heavy weight, even economically, of this project. The Fontaine Archive, which is a name I gave to the whole enterprise, is as well an open platform that many people have appropriated. For instance, Dieter Daniels came with one book. So this is the base of appropriation. Like, some people come to my space, to my studio, or send me books. For that reason, I also to be able to share this project, I create a website. So this is some images of different kind of way of showing the work. This is every time grids, for instance. When there are quantity like that, this is starting to be interesting because it's readable as well, and you can start to cross. For instance, this kind of fake news, there are so many on it, as well the real interesting things said on the Fontaine. There are so many books representing the Fontaine from so many different kind of field. This is just incredible. And so this is as well, you can make transversal reading of this work as well. It could be... So here, I'm supposed to show you a bit the website, but I don't know, does it work? Maybe. No. No. Can you help me? It's supposed to be a website, kind of. Well, maybe it doesn't matter. I will explain you the... It's okay. I can explain it like that. But the website, I'm making a scan. It's very obsessional things. So I'm making a scan of all the turnout pages. Then I made a website where you can find... you can make a consultation of all these pages, and with a very precise reference of the book, and as well on the website you can get list of the bibliography of the books already found, and it's as well a platform of exchange with people who want to participate it, because some people send me some references, and as well it's open to work. So this is the website platform is a part of the work to be shared as well. Another rules allow the archives to be appropriated is when a person brings me 10 documents that are not in the archives yet, I give him in exchange one of the frame page together with a certificate. So he receives literally one of the artwork. Several people got into this game, but the record man is the Paris-based collector Daniel Bosser. He has literally fallen in love with the project, and he has already sent 120 books to the studio, which is massive, I mean, really massive. And so with more than 10% of the collection, that makes him the first contributor, and also a leading contributor who is still helping me to develop and to promote the project. Now, for instance, every time I'm exhibiting this project, he's here. And when the project was on view in Pompidou, he was there probably once or two a week, sending me some pictures and speaking with the people and saying, like, it was very interesting. No, it's creating a real interesting relation, actually. And we have, like, a long correspondence together, which is very, very super interesting. When he sent me comments on books and a lot of things. That's kind of works creating as well this kind of relation. What next? I mean, next. Okay. The augmented section, a shift. Since I start the collection, a shift occurred. The frame pages have been exhibited very regularly over the past 10 years, and of course they have produced their own comments. The Fountain Archives as an artwork started to be mentioned in catalogue, magazines and exhibition leaflets. But in those publications, the image of the fountain illustrating the article is going with my name, as you can see here. So this is the first page has been published in the exhibition catalogue, The Present Order of the Disorder of the Future, held at the Museum Kleve in Germany. It got in the archives in 2014 under the number FA0366. Those specific publications built an archive within the archives that I called augmented, because Duchamp was saying the viewer is complementing the, is making complement of the object. And here, the object is literally augmented. This section counts now more than 100 items, which is not bad, I mean, compared to the... Since the shift appeared, it is not uncommon for a journalist, a critic, or an editor to offer me his complicity, asking me if he can reproduce some documents of the Fountain Archives to be sure his publication will be integrated in the section augmented. So it's creating kind of perversity as well with the system, because of course people call me and we organize some publication to be sure the Fountain Archives will be reproduced, then those books are incorporated to the project. This way, a sort of little diversion of art history takes place. It is a process that I could be called an epiphyte process, like from the name of these varieties of plants that use other plants as a support for their development, but which produce a beneficial ecosystem around the colonized trees. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, all the books destroyed, amputated from their pages, form the negative of the work, or the mold. It's really the mold. Stored on shelves at the studio, they became, over the time, the material of a sculpture that I presented for the first time along the augmented frame last January at Centre Pompidou, and which are still visible for a few days at the new Museum National of Monaco. So this is the way, so this is what is the work now, huh? After this exchange things with the frame things, we have some sculpture made out of all these books. Made out of all these books. They are like voluntarily put at distance with this showcase on the shelves. And behind we can see the augmented section. So only frame page was speaking about the work. Only this one running like that. And here on the side, it's something else, but it's very part of the work as well. There are little text, which is a song. For more than 10 years now, every time I'm making a new artwork, I ask some my friend to write some songs about the artwork. And this is a future development of what we are seeing now. So we are every time, it's a very long process, things. Okay. Okay, then, what I will say is like the mechanic and dynamic that govern the ecosystem of art make the production of the Fountain Archives possible. The appropriation already made, if appropriation there is here more than in simple code of the Fountain by Duchamp. It's really this system we are inside, we are making the work. Any adventure, ever so beautiful, must end, and I would be very happy when it would be finished. At some point, and I decided to close Fountain Archives at number FA101, as an obvious and literal reference to the tale of the 1001 night. This to underline my interest on how artworks can produce narrative, because I'm more interested by the idea of the Buddha of the bathroom than by the object itself. This is more my question in my work, all these things, how works are developing narrative and how we look at works. And on this very first, this is the blind man, the second pages we haven't seen yet. They develop, they say, yes, this is, they call it pissoir, but this is as well, we can see a Buddha of the bathroom, or the leg of a naked woman painted by, by Cézanne. So they say like, okay, we can see completely, and this is what's happened. Fontaine is a wonderful work because it is still one of the most talked about artwork in the world today, making it so alive and present despite its century of existence. This is very rare, so some works were still so, yeah, really so alive. A lot of sculpture disappeared on the storage of museum forever or are completely neutralized. This one is still like people you can see today. They're like maybe one conference like that on the world this year, every 2 weeks, every second weeks. It's very like super discussed. I was on another one 10 days ago. We can assume that Marcel Duchamp consciously orchestrated this deluge of comments by accompanying his gesture with a major contradictions. Now, this major contradiction is, for instance, in between what he said here, like you can look at it as, you can project yourself on it and look at it as an object, like a Buddha of the bathroom, and on the same time he was saying, that it's absolutely the choice of the ready-made have something is something very far with absolutely no you don't put inside any affect anything like that. So he was starting to, but with the Buddha of the bathroom, I say that he put the worm in the apple, and people starting to try to integrate themselves these things. I'm missing very important pictures. Anyway, every artwork is like an alien. This is my conclusion, in a way, for us. And the comments we produce on them are part of the process of their integration in our community. When Duchamp tells us, c'est le regardeur qui fait le tableau, this is the beholder who is making the pictures, he reminds us how responsible we are for the way we look at things, and that our gaze has the power to influence the perception we have of the things in general and the work of art in particular. Our projection on artworks built an immaterial form next to their physical form. With our prejudice and our curiosity, we literally influence their form. The Fontaine Archives is trying to give a representation to this immaterial part of the artwork. Can consider that all these books are as many point of view, developing so many different approach of the work, that they are creating all together this immaterial thinking, body of thinking, which is part now of the work. It's exactly that what I'm trying to represent is what happened in the mind of the beholder when he's making the pictures. Just a little thing. After 10 years, my studio invited by all these pictures of the Fontaine of Duchamp. I starting to look at this subject as well in a very different way. And so, yeah, for instance, I'm very surprised at participating to at least five lecture or thing like that about Duchamp, and there are a lot of people who are completely obsessed about the urinal, the idea of peeing, and as well most of the artists or people who make vandalism act with the Duchamp fountain trying to pee on it and all these things. Me, when I look at the fountain, I don't see anymore the pissoir for a very long time. I see very something else. I don't know. I see this now. I see the object by Duchamp probably or something, which is not anymore this. And I starting to, as Duchamp was working with world, I starting to question what is behind the definition of what is behind what's making the fountain, what is behind the title and the date of this object, Fontaine 1917, which gives the definition of the work. And I started a year ago to collect all the postcards. It's a side effect of what I did before. It's completely different, but a side effect. Starting to collect all the postcards where I can find a representation, a picture of a fountain. Alors, in the 1917, it was the development of urbanism, and a lot of people, a lot of little villages like to have a fountain on their squares. So there are a lot of pictures with a fountain. And then I started to collect all those fountains, but they're all traveled in 1917. I've been like, so through that collection, I starting to see what's happened, what's surrounding the fountain when it's have been made. So we are in the middle of the, at the end of the war, but the baddest moment of the war. So most of those postcards have been sent by soldiers. And so we can see a bit of the urbanism. And I made, like, I found in 1 month, I found 250 of those cards. So 21, first, 17. And this one is interesting because it's a place in French, but the postcard is in German. It was like. And I made a book out of this. So, yeah, this was my last comment for this year. After I'm stopping with Fontaine 1917, I will finish this year, 2001, and the last comment is this book. It's another way of getting inside the work. Well, that's it. Thank you.